Precise Haircuts for Men in Sunset Hills, you are missing out. It's like a sports bar for your head. Get a precision haircut, hot ladder neck shave, and hot towel treatment for a great price on Lindbergh Boulevard, just south of Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Company. Lady James has won double-digit men's styling awards, and their talented stylists are delivering the best haircuts in St. Louis. In Sunset Hills on Lindbergh Boulevard, just south of Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Company. Lady James, it's wicked awesome.
This is Patrick Kelly, and I want to introduce you to the Schnucks Athlete of the Week. Every week, Schnucks and 590 will highlight the story of a local athlete excelling both athletically and academically. Every week, you can vote through Wednesday on your favorite high school athletes of the week on 590thefan.com, and each Friday, the winner's unique story will be told. Voting will then start over the next week when a new athlete of the week is chosen. Check it out on 590thefan.com.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Missing that extra kick in your step these days? Then it's time to give U.S. Men's Medical Center a call for the newest and most affordable testosterone replacement therapy. This is safe with most existing medical conditions, and they will do comprehensive exam and lab work to determine if there are any problems. They accept all insurance, including Medicare. Schedule an appointment online at usmensmedicalcenter.com. Give them a call at 636-244-5333 or visit their office at 303 Jungerman Road, Suite B in St. Peter's.
Each summer, Midwest Children's Burn Camp assists youth burn survivors, and now you can help too. Each time the St. Louis Blues score a power play goal during the 2020 regular season, Ameren, Missouri will donate $500 to one local kids' charity to help kids achieve their goal. From now until January 31st, go to AmerenMissouri.com/blues to vote for Midwest Children's Burn Camp. Vote today and help the kids score big this month.
Who is this?
This is Twisted Sister.
Oh, they're my favorite.
What do you want to do with your life?
See, you know all of this stuff. You were a wild guy. You had an attitude. My attitude was, I need to get to work at the Five and Dime store and sell popcorn on the corner and cut grass. That was my attitude. I'm excited to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Dan Buffa is in the house.
Woo-hoo!
He enjoyed some of our fine refreshments that our bartender provided him in the green room bar. Had a quick massage, jumped in the hot tub, was handed the one of the 590 bathrobes, and now he is ready to go. And he'll be with you after I remind you that the name of the window that more people buy as a replacement window than any other window in this country is Window World. The name of the company that makes the window is Window World. It's 15 years old. I think at about 12, they hit the number one mark, and they've never looked back. If they did look back, they'd have to look way, way back to find number two, because the window that is second, I think, is a distant second. And I'm sure there are people in the window business who, on a regular basis, get together and meet and go, how in the world are these guys? How do Window World people do this? Look at this. And they probably bring one of the Window World windows into a meeting at their window company and go, look at this. It's actually a really good window. How can they do this? How do they make it, sell it for this? What are we doing wrong and they're doing right? Well, they'll probably never completely figure that out. But it's the essence of the formula is simple. Great product, great price, backed by a great warranty, which is a lifetime warranty, and given the good housekeeping seal of approval, except that you're not given it, you have to earn it, and it's not easy to get. All of those reasons and more are the reasons people buy Window World as the replacement window. You can add to that 18 months, same as cash, with approved credit. And then there are all kinds of other things, and I'm going to give you the website to go to find out about that. And I hope you will, and I hope you never, ever, ever forget with Window World or Landoff or Brenton or Ballastin or any of these advertisers, never, ever, ever forget to tell them your AM and the PM. When you folks watch TV or you listen to radio and you hear the commercials and they say, go to blankblankblank.com and enter promo code PINION or enter promo code XYZ. The reason they do that, they tell you it's so that you get a special discount. No, it's so they can track where their customers are coming from. And they count all the leads that come in from the people that put in promo code XYZ. It's no different with us. The reason it's so important you tell them your AM and the PM, or you mention 590, or you mention my name, or any of that, is so they know that inquiry came from the show. The rest is up to them. It's up to Window World to make you happy. And they will. The preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. And you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Speaking of Window World is now proud to present this guy. Say hello to Dan Buffa, everybody.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Dan, how are you?
I'm good.
I will start by telling you that even though I didn't see it, night before last, my son and my daughter-in-law took my grandson to see Spies in Disguise.
Yeah.
I think it's an animated thing.
Voiced by Will Smith, part of the main role.
Sounds like it's strictly a kid's movie, mm-hmm. I would guess. So I don't know anything about it, except they seemed to enjoy it and said he enjoyed it. So there you go. Folks, if you have kids or grandkids, he's six and seemed to like it. He's getting old enough now where it has to be a particular kind of movie to hold his
attention.
Can he
comprehend, like, some plot points?
Yeah.
Is he just
kind
of like a visual? Okay.
No, he's a genius. My grandson's a genius.
There you go.
Yeah, he's an absolute. See, I did that as a joke because everybody does that. Oh, you know that our son just got a. By the way, I have my grandson's report card right here.
Straight A's.
No. Oh, no. That's not what this is about. This is about how ridiculous the report card is. Now, can I, you don't mind, you got a lot of time here. You don't mind if I do a little of this?
Go ahead.
So here's the thing. My daughter-in-law emails me this. She goes, take a look at this report card. And let me start by saying this. When I was in school, even through high school, here's what you got grades on. English, geography, arithmetic, maybe other forms of arithmetic, algebra, whatever, science. That's it.
I still remember we didn't get grades until third grade. I still remember the three categories because it was like a list of categories down both sides of the report card, and you got one of three. You got always, sometimes, or seldom.
What?
Works, plays well with others. Always,
yeah,
sometimes,
that.
Or seldom.
I never had that.
Does well in math. Always, sometimes, or seldom. You didn't get the letter grades.
From first grade on, for me, it was A, B,
really?
C, D, E, F. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So here, I'm not going to go through 80% of this, but I am. I took a marker. And I just marked a few of the things. Like, now, first of all, my grandson is six. He's in kindergarten. Okay. The grading is 1 through 4. 1 means there's an area of concern. 2, partial mastery of standard, meaning he sort of gets it.
Right.
He just needs a little help. 3, mastery of standard. He gets it. And 4, exceeds standard. Now, it's not really important what numbers he got to me. He's in kindergarten. But what is important is the topics. And what this looks to me like is where the school or this teacher, remember, they're trying to impress those, you know, you ever see Parenthood with Rick Moranis?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he
tried
to teach his kid to be a genius? It's for those parents.
Yeah.
So here are some of the things that my six-year-old grandson is graded on. Comprehends grade-appropriate fiction text. What does that even mean?
Grade-appropriate
just like
fiction
reading?
Text.
Well, they could have put it another
like
way.
Story
understand
book?
Stories. That would be the way
okay,
I would
right.
say. Okay. Comprehends grade-appropriate fiction text. Here's another one. Comprehends grade-appropriate informational text. Ah, that means understands things that aren't fiction, understands news stories or true stories. Why didn't they just say that?
Well, what grade did he get? You're not giving us the grades.
I said kindergarten. Three times I said kindergarten.
Yeah, kindergarten.
What grade did he get on the card?
I'm not doing that because if I do and it's a good grade, it'll make it sound like I'm bragging. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I'm asking, so that's not bragging.
Well, okay.
You're being requested information.
In comprehends grade appropriate fiction test, he got a 1.5, which is substandard.
Ooh.
And by the way, is of no concern at all to me or my son or my daughter-in-law. We couldn't care less. This is all stupid. Right. And by the way, he gets a 4 in one, and it's stupid, too. So let's see. Here we go. Here's one. this I don't get. Reads and writes numbers 0 to 31. Why 31?
What's wrong with 32?
What's wrong with 30 or 100? Reads and writes number 30.
So if he lives to 31, do I die now? No, there's more numbers.
No, that's exactly what it says. It says in math, this is under the category math. Math. Reads and writes numbers 0 to 31. And he got a 3, which is above average. I actually don't really care to give the numbers because, again, they don't mean anything. Now here. Works with numbers 11 through 19 to gain foundation for place value. Can I tell you something? What? I have no idea what that means, and I'm far beyond kindergarten. Let me read it again. Works with numbers 11 through 19 to gain foundations for place value. What?
Place value.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have said placement, because knowing
why 11 through 19? What the heck? What does that mean? All right, here's one. This is under math.
Objectifying.
Understands shapes and their attributes. Now, I get understand shapes.
Right.
What is the attribute of a circle?
A square has four corners.
No, that's not an attribute. Why is that an attribute?
A circle has a lot of personality.
It's not an attribute.
A square, like a circle, has no corners.
No, it's just a characteristic of it.
Sticks
in
a round hole.
It's not an attribute.
It's an attribute.
I don't even get that. I'm telling you, this is done.
What's an attribute?
This is done to impress parents. Some of these kids might have parents who are Harvard graduates or something. Here, under math. Under science, evaluates data about plant and animal.
What? Oops, sorry.
What did you say?
He interrupted me.
Yeah, sorry.
Evaluates data about plant and animal needs.
Evaluates data.
Data. A six-year-old doesn't evaluate any data.
The only data that matters is where the cookies are
probably
and where they're not.
About, feeding and watering plants and animals.
How about if they just said, in science, understands that plants and animals need food. How about that?
There you go.
And water.
Okay. There's space.
There's actually a PDF, Frank, that I just read called The Foundations of Place Value. I couldn't even begin to explain to you what this means. And I've read it.
And he's in kindergarten.
I mean, There's an explanation for it, but I've read it, and I still don't even understand.
Like 12 goes just, after 11.
Don't even try.
Tim, does it make your brain hurt?
It does.
You give us
it
wouldn't mind, too, yeah.
All right, here's under life science, plants and animals again. It says analyzes severe weather forecasts. My six-year-old grandson does not analyze weather forecast.
Severe weather forecast.
So basically he can look outside and say, hey, there's rain coming.
No, well, he can understand one told to him.
No, it says analyze.
Right, analyze.
He can absorb. It's a cumulus cloud.
Then why don't they say this? Why don't they say understands good and bad weather?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay? I mean, when it's getting ready to storm, my kid will ask for my phone so he can look at the radar. I go, you don't need to know about the radar.
And I think that's great. How old is he?
He's 8.
Yeah, he should know what radar looks like.
Sure.
Okay, here, under... this is still under, wait a minute, Earth and Space Science, Sun and Shade. What? And here's what it says. Communicates ways to change the motion of an object. What? How do you... Here.
Does that mean he can move things? Or he
Thank
can
you.
Use, like, sunscreen
Thank
to
you.
Cover it?
Understands how to start and stop things. That's what it should say.
Somebody just said...
to commence and discontinue.
A way to know what shapes and attributes are is grabbing a breast and smiling.
There you go.
So,
all right.
Now listen to this.
Nice
this
and
is
simple.
This is still under. This is under general science, and a category called general science and being a scientist. He's 6.
He's 6.
Here's what it says.
Wow.
And by the way, before I read this, this is nothing more than they're indoctrinating him at 6 into this tree hugging, we're ruining the earth crap. Here's what it says. Investigates human impact on Earth. All that is starting early with, we're destroying the planet. in, he, my 6-year-old grandson doesn't investigate human impact on Earth. Ridiculous. It's kindergarten.
He investigates lizards.
Yeah,
stuff.
He does.
If this was Damien Thorne's report card on the Omen, there'd be a line that says, causes women to jump out of third-story windows with ropes around their neck.
Yeah. And that kid right would there, get right
four.
There.
And that kid would have gotten a four.
One of his attributes is doing this to poor people, poor women.
Now, this one, I think this
is black marker.
This is appropriate. But I'm going to tell you the grade, and then you'll understand why I don't understand why there's a grade 1 through 4. Identifies the flag as a symbol of the United States. He got a 3. How do you get a 4? You either identify it or you don't. Hey, what's this? And he goes, that's the United States flag. Now, you got a 3. You could have gotten a 4. How do you get a 4?
Well, if he would have known what the stars
meant. No, they didn't ask that. No. They said, identify the flag. Why is there a 1, 2, 3, or 4? You either do, or you, what's this?
I don't know. So the kids in his class that got a 1 on that question said, that's Iran's flag?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Here, a couple more. This is under art. Produces quality art using specific media.
So crayons?
What? Crayons. Yeah. How about this? Can draw using crayons.
Specific media.
Or chalk. Or paintbrushes.
Oh.
Produces, here's the last one. Demonstrates knowledge of concepts through the creation of original music. Like, he's supposed to be a songwriter now?
Mm-hmm.
He got a 3, by the way. I don't know. Maybe he made up a song. I don't know. I think this is insane. It's overkill. And that's 80% of it. Some of these others are just beyond ridiculous. So thank you for letting me make that part of a segment that has nothing to do with...
Well, it is called... It's entertainment. It's a different sort.
And by the way, why didn't they include something about radio, TV? That's a big part of YouTube. That's a big part of these kids' lives.
They didn't say anything about planets, either.
They didn't even ask about
the
Uranus.
Universe, no.
Yeah.
I think a young kid ought to know about Uranus.
Yes.
It's going to come up.
I mean, that's some data right there.
It's going to come up in life. All right, Mr. Buffa, can we talk? Glennard, we mentioned him yesterday. Yeah. Can we talk to Glennard? Is that okay?
Yes.
Let me give the numbers. TV, movies, that's what we're talking about now. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Glennard, how are you? What do you have for Dan Buffa or us?
Glennard, welcome everybody to the AM and the PM show.
Well, it's not really called the AM and the PM show, but we know what you mean. What's up, Glennard?
Well, welcome, listeners. We have a special guest and a special report.
Okay.
Is this a bulletin, Glennard?
Bulletin, yes.
All right. I hope this is TV or movie related. That's what we're in now. But give him the bulletin thing. All right, Glennard, what do you have?
Well, we had a really big show. Really big show Saturday night.
What?
The seventh planet fan, Uranus.
Glennard, what are we doing?
The show was the seventh planet fan. More to come in the metro area. Check them out.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
Thank you, Glennard.
Dan, is this your lead singer?
Yes. No. Glennard came to see us.
Glennard, was there anything else?
I'll say you there, son. I'll say you keep talking, your tongue's gonna get sunburnt.
Oh, it's supposed to be Foghorn Leghorn?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
That's stunned silence right now in the air.
That's Foghorn Drunkhorn.
Glennard, once again.
The other night the band was great.
Uh-huh.
I saw the guys, met the guys.
Uh-huh.
Dan, Entwistle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Entwistle. I get it. John Entwistle.
Yeah, great. Okay, yeah. Entwistle, dude. ZZ Top, Rolling Stones, Supertramp, Buffalo Springfield, Uriah Heep, Leonard Skinner, some other Southern Rock. I'm telling you, we had a great time. I brought my honey pie. Her name is Sandy as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice time. We had some drinks and all that. But I wanted to call in and and tell everybody about the seventh planet Uranus band. Uh-huh. And it was cool, all that kind of stuff. And I'm glad you didn't interrupt me again, or I'd have to say some more foghorn leghorn jokes.
No, I'm not about to interrupt you. I'm just going to let you go. Anything else?
Oh, thanks, Frank. See you around.
Okay, probably you won't see me.
I don't think he stopped partying since Dan's band got stopped playing.
No. He's been going for the last four days. That's called day four.
So, that is he typical of your followers of your band?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Let's hope not.
He's the first caller in the history of the show that called you Lank and then corrected himself to Lank
Frank.
All right, Lank.
That's basically Frank. What you are now. Lank Frank.
I was going to ask him if he's a drinking man, but I don't think we need to ask
That's a rhetorical question. How much do you drink?
Yeah. And now back to the Dan Buffa segment. So as calls are coming in, Dan, you don't really have to worry about answering. It's not your job. Well, yes, it is. So what do you want to share with us today?
The new year, the slow period's gone. Now we have a couple movies that came out in other cities last year to qualify for the Oscars, but now they have come out here, two of them this past weekend. The first one is called 1917.
Oh, I hear good things.
And this is a movie that, for once in a long time, the movies go over the First World War instead of, you know, World War II, which has gotten 150, 200 movies.
The other one recently that did that was the one they colorized the film, remember?
Yes.
And they dubbed in, they got lip readers. Remember this?
The Lord of the Rings guy did it. Peter Jackson did that.
Yes. And they had professional lip readers tell us what
they shall not grow old.
Yes, because it was silent footage from World War One, and they were able to help us understand what those guys in the battlefield were saying. Yeah, that was a tremendous.
It was, and this one again goes to, you know, let's say unmined territory when it comes to the movies is the First World War, and this is the director Sam Mendes. His grandfather was a runner in the First World War, so he wanted to make a movie fictionalized, but that takes place in the movie. This is about two young soldiers who have a kind of a, you know, a suicide mission. They have to run across enemy territory to inform this group of soldiers that they're walking into a trap.
Well, there's a job.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where when they ask you, anybody here run? Know how to run?
Yeah.
That's where you don't raise your hand.
You know how to dodge shrapnel and bullets?
You don't.
So these two soldiers have to get over there overnight, or else it's going to be a massacre. The British Army is going to lose 1,600 soldiers. And one of the kids that's kind of tasked, these are both two young soldiers.
So it's a true story.
No, I mean,
or based on.
Based on, probably more like inspired. Again, his great grandfather was a part of the war, so I think he wanted to make a story inside the war, so I'm not sure this particularly happened, but maybe a version of it happened according to the director. But so they had to get across, and they had to go, I mean, over enemy territory, over dead bodies, over landmines, over planted, you know, some kind of bombs, and the person doing it with, there's two young soldiers. One of them, his brother is part of that platoon going into a potential massacre. So that's kind of like plot. Two guys, and the actors are not known actors. You're not going to know who they are. Sam Mendes, the director, wanted to get two people. I don't think that we really knew that well to play these two very important roles. Colin Firth and Benedict Cumberbatch and Mark Strong are kind of small roles along the way, but this is mostly led by two unknown actors, and I think it really helped because 1917, of course, it was supposedly done, all the shots were edited to have one long take, so it's a real-time kind of movie. And I like this movie a lot because it was an unconventional war film. It wasn't your usual thing where, you know, you have all the little patterns of the war films. This is two guys dodging bombs, dodging German soldiers, trying to get to this destination. So 1917 is something different, but it's something different and very good.
You said there are no names in it, but Colin Firth is.
Yeah, the very small cameos. I think Dean Chapman was in Game of Thrones. He plays one of the soldiers, and George McKay was in a couple very big, like, independent films. But they're mostly not well-known actors.
The guy I feel bad for couldn't make it. Almost made it. It was Colin Thekund.
Yeah, there it is.
Thanks, everybody.
You know, if you're not first, you're last.
Get it first, then second. Get it? Mm-hmm. Like a speech thing?
That was,
Thanks, everybody.
Lisp.
Yeah.
Stay.
Once talk to... I'm sorry. We'll let you finish this and do your ARDs. No. We'll talk to Tracy.
Yeah, 1917, very worthwhile. And see it in a theater.
I haven't seen it or read anything bad about it.
No, I mean, it was nominated, I think, for 9 or 10 Oscars. Very well worth it. Again, unknown actors in the lead roles, but a very good war film.
I do believe there are some films that you should see on the big screen.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then hopefully you have a 70 or an 80 in, because it's just not as powerful.
There's a Twitter account called One Perfect Shot, and they put a behind-the-scenes photo of this film, and they split the screen in half. On one half, you saw what you saw in the theater, and the other half was how they actually shot it. In one of these parts of this movie, this kid has to run across a field where explosions are happening left, right, ahead, and behind him.
Wow.
And in the real shot, they had a pickup truck speeding away with the camera attached right in front of the actor on this field. And actual explosions are happening around him. It's just so good. He did it so real. No CGI, all stunts.
Nine ARDs.
3.5.
Ooh, I knew it'd be at least that. Here they come.
Yeah, 3.5.
All right, Dean. All right, Dean. All right, Dean. All right.
We'll talk to Tracy.
Yes.
Tracy, hey, welcome to 590 The Fan. We're doing great. Say hi to Dan Buffa.
Hi, Dan Buffa. How are you?
Good afternoon, Tracy.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. Hey, I've got a good question for you, Dan. Why is it that myself and a few others that I talk to that go to movies, why is it when the critics absolutely love the movie, we can't stand it? And then when
that's a good point.
The movie, we love it. What's up with that?
Can I take a run at this? And then I'll let Dan answer.
But I will say, Tracy's findings are legit. If you go to Rotten Tomatoes, they'll have the critic score and the audience scored, and some of these films lately have had drastically different percentages.
I don't pay any attention to the critics' ratings. I just don't. And my answer, and then you can answer, is this. And Dan, in the beginning, when we started this segment with Dan, he was guilty of looking a little too closely at the stuff we don't really care about. Like, this guy directed 8 other films. Okay. We don't really care that much about that. Is was it good, was it not, and why? And I think that the critics look at things that, in many cases, we just don't care that much about. And they look so closely at it that they can't really enjoy the movie as just a movie. So, Dan, you can answer.
I think that's part of it. I also think that critics, we're like the worst teachers with that red pen grading your homework. Like, we just want to nitpick movies, and that's just because we see so many of them. But also, some of the most adored films by the critics are also often ones that are depressing. And I think when people go to a film, and I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson said this when he makes his movies, he wants to make sure the crowd is entertained. And a lot of these Oscar-friendly, you know, critical darlings are more depressing, more like
they're
real
dark
world. They're dark, and that's why I thought I loved seeing Ford versus Ferrari get Best Picture nomination, because it was kind of a rare film. Well, it was kind of fun, but also kind of Oscar heavy too.
Tracy, the greatest example, and I still use the same example in my life, of a movie that the critics said was fantastic. I went to see it. And it won the Academy Award. And it's, to this day, one of the worst movies I ever saw. The Artist, in black and white, with
no dialogue,
except the very end, no dialogue. It was a silent black and white movie.
Yeah.
It was horrible, and they acted like this is the greatest thing that ever happened.
And that's why I think Avengers Endgame, that was, the critics liked it, the audiences liked it, but usually there's a big difference in most movies between the audience and the critics.
I think a great movie is a movie that you can pull out and watch it, or you're flipping through the channels and you'll stop.
And you can't stop watching it.
It's over.
Yes, I agree.
Exactly.
You know, 30 times in your lifetime.
And you never get tired of it. And an example to me of that would be something like A River Runs Through It.
Yeah. Goodfellas for me.
Green Mile.
Yeah.
Even, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, even though you know the ending, you just can't not watch it again.
And I think
And some are chick flicks, like Sleepless in Seattle.
I love Pretty Woman. Oh my goodness, I love Sleepless in Seattle. That's a fantastic movie.
It's easy to watch,
too. It's the same movie as You've Got Mail.
It is. It's easy to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it's entertaining, and I think a lot of movies you rewatch are ones where you don't really have to critically think at all. It's not like a Christopher Nolan film. You're like, what is going on? The world's upside down. Those movies you rewatch are often ones that are easy to digest. Well, feel-good movies.
And sometimes you don't want a history lesson, and you don't want to be depressed. But like Sleepless in Seattle is the perfect example of how we wish everybody's life would turn out.
Like a movie, Frank, that I think both of us loved, but also it kind of it was chalky. It had a lot of complex theory moments to it. The Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill.
Yes.
It was a good film,
right.
But I can't really watch that over and over and over.
I don't think I'd watch it twice.
No, it's hard.
Yeah. Tracy, that was a good question. That was a good, how old are you, Tracy?
Oh, I just turned 60.
My favorite age.
Excellent question.
Favorite age.
Great question. Because that's something really very modern. I mean, it happens a lot. Like this past month, I think you've got a Rotten Tomatoes, click on three random movies. Like, put it this way, Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler.
Right.
High critic rating, very low audience rating, because it's not an easy movie to watch.
I know Frank likes that movie, but I don't love it,
but I like it because it reminded me how much I never want to live in a place like New York City.
I like
getting a look at
it's
what
feverish.
That frantic life is like, because I don't want any part of it.
Because it goes, I mean, really, it's a claustrophobic movie because it does not slow down.
Yeah, I don't think Tracy would like it.
No, right. I'm not going to see it.
Well, Tracy, thank you.
In the PM.
Thank you very much. You know what, Tracy, and I don't know why she reminded me of this. You know that years ago, I think it was a charity thing, I auctioned off taking a woman to a movie. And I took a woman who was a listener on a date. And I don't remember the movie, but we went to a movie and I took care of the popcorn and tickets and everything. And it was really fun. And I don't remember her name. I've never thought of that till just now.
That I had went
a date, that movie date with Frank, and I think she coughed up quite a bit of money for charity for that. So I may have to do that again.
Well, it's a fun thing because they get to meet you, and it's just the two of you, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. It's a very cool little evening just with you alone.
We got to meet. We got to see a movie. We got to have sex. Oh, shoot. I didn't mean for that to slip out.
you got comfortable.
I didn't mean for that to slip out.
Yeah.
The popcorn drink. No, she was wise. She listened enough to the show. She knew to watch out for the popcorn drink. I say we talk to Vince.
Yeah.
Our numbers, by the way, are 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Vince, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm on my Bluetooth. Is this okay?
What?
Can you hear me?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Uh-huh. What?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're fine. It sounds fine.
Okay. I thought you were going to give me the, you need to hang up, turn on the radio.
Nope.
Okay. Well, hey, real quick, boys. Sorry I'm congested. I got my 9-year-old granddaughter. We're walking in on your recommendation to Spies in Disguise, right, Reagan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that.
She's pretty excited.
Well, I didn't see it, but I hope she likes it. I think my grandson did, so.
Now, Dan, I wanted to give a downer, though. I did see 1917, and I felt like I was in a video game for 2 hours.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I know, Frank, you've heard, and I felt guilty coming out of the thing because it's such a noble thing that the guy pulled off. Unbelievable. But the sitting through, walking, having him walk through the woods and walk through empty buildings, and that was the extent of the film.
Wow.
That was my problem. That was it.
No, I like it when people tell us things everybody else is not telling us.
For me, it just really, it was so slowly intense. It just never let up. I mean, you're following these two guys.
But that can get old. You know what movie that got old in? What was that Jeremy Renner in that bomb movie?
Hurt Locker.
Yeah. Holy cow. Hurt Locker.
You didn't
Locker.
Like that movie?
No, it was just too.
See, for me, it was
I
intense.
Think it's what Vince is talking about. It was just too much.
When he's defusing the bomb and the guys are looking at him do it, the ones that put it there.
But they took 2.5 hours to do that.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, it was intense.
Yeah.
But then
I
for everybody.
Agree, but hey, Reagan, you need to say I'm AM and the PM for these guys.
Huh?
We're AM and the PM.
All right, we'll take that. She'll learn. She'll learn.
She's getting it. All right, thanks, guys.
Enjoy
thanks
the movie. All right. See, enjoy the movie and get that kid some Rolos or peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
See, I believe a lot of people get mad at me for this. People who are raising their kids on kale and stuff. I think when you're a kid, you pretty much eat anything. When I was a kid, I ate everything I wanted to eat.
I mean, if I go to Starbucks and get a coffee, the kid gets a cookie. That's basically a done deal.
It's a kid. It'll be fine. We'll kill him.
He can eat it now. It's not going to hurt
him. That's exactly right.
He's not going to gain any weight after having a cookie.
And when they're really little, if it messes up their teeth are going to fall out anyway.
Yeah, they'll get new ones.
So there you go.
And won't go into this for an hour, but if you can remember this or write it down, and I know you're not a big sports guy, Google Todd Marinovich when you get home tonight.
How do you spell Marinovich?
Capital Marinovich. This was a guy whose father, and I know Dan knows a little bit about this, he was a left-handed quarterback at USC, played a little bit in the NFL, and their parents strictly controlled every amount of food that ever entered his body throughout his entire life he went to college.
Mm.
Like, no sugar. You know, okay. There was like a lot of carbs. Well, I don't know about carbs, but there was, I mean, just everything. He didn't have no candy. I know that. And even worse than that, you know, in terms of like fried chicken and stuff like that we always
restriction.
Like, he played in the NFL. He's a bust. He ended up becoming a big drug addict and was homeless and on the streets.
There you go.
See?
I rest my case.
And that's why I told you that. That's 30-second
movie.
But go Google him tonight. It's a fascinating story.
Well, I have to tell you, when you just said that, the word that came in my head was cruel. That's cruel to deprive a kid.
No sugar for your whole childhood.
Never a cookie? Come on.
Chocolate or a piece of cake?
They used to call him the test tube quarterback.
Well,
that's what they called him because his parents raised him essentially...
They measured it out.
Yeah, everything. Every day.
That's enough chicken.
Every day of every week of his life, his entire childhood. And the guy went on to play in the NFL.
And then he went on from that to be a drug addict.
Correct.
There you go. All right, next is, I believe, Lima, you tell me. Is it Pat or Dan? Pat, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Frank, I'm doing great. If I were better, I'd be twins. How are you?
Let me check. Hold on. I'm fine.
Great. The reason I call is I listen to your show all the time. Always listen for the joke. Always listen through the sign-off. I recognize many of the characters whose voices play in the sign-off, and I know you probably have discussed this on your show more than a few times.
We have.
But I'm just at a loss to identify all of the characters. They're familiar sounding, like that. Oh, goodbye. I love you. Bye-bye. You know, that stuff. I don't know where that stuff comes from.
Well,
but I'm interested to know.
Well, we can't do it right now, but a couple of times we've run down every single sign-off goodbye and who they were, and we didn't write it down, did we? Anybody?
I did. I have a file on my computer because we still haven't gotten them all.
What is the one he's asking about?
I'm not sure. I'm looking for the file, but I have it on this computer where we went through them all and determined who it was.
Okay, Lady, I Love You, Bye Bye. That is the baby character from the TV show Animaniacs way back in the 90s.
Wow, I would never
And that
have known
was
that.
Pretty much all she said was just, okay, lady, and that was it.
Well, that's a good But role. He's talking about, he's saying, I love you, bye bye.
Yeah, I know, that's like,
is that it?
That's pretty much all that character ever like said was,
I don't even know what Animaniacs are. Yep. I don't know what that is.
But that's the one you want.
You got another one, just one you want to pluck out and ask us about, or...
Well, I recognize, like, Colonel Flagg from MASH, you know, I'm just a figment of your imagination. There's so many of them that are familiar, and I know who they are, but there's so many that I don't, and it just makes me crazy.
Well, it should make me crazy that we've been through it, and I still don't know most of them, but I don't have much of a memory. So we'll have to do it again one day. We'll just stop, we'll play and stop each one, and till we get them all again, and... This time, maybe we'll make a note to write every one of them down. Tim?
I have a file on my computer, and it's called Endings. It's a Microsoft Word document.
Not happy endings.
No.
Endings.
That's a different file.
Okay. Yeah.
So there are 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. There are 20 different sound effects that you play in the closing of this show.
Ooh.
There are still 3 that we have not identified.
What are the 3, do you know?
Well, there was friction as to whether or not it's right. One was just a figment of your imagination.
Just a figment of your imagination.
It was said that was Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black.
Do we know?
No, that's Colonel Flagg from MASH.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not Tommy Lee Jones. He didn't say that.
Man, I'm just a figment of your imagination.
Yeah, I don't think he said that, no. Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Pat. I think Pat knows what he's talking
about.
We
did this one time before.
Dan, you're not listening. We just said we did it like three times.
Yeah,
we've been through
it. The phone.
Actually, that was actually, I take it back. That was the last one. I have them all.
Tim has them all.
He has them all.
Oh, I take it back. We'll catch you next time. We never got that one.
We'll catch you next time.
Got that one.
No, we know. You know, that's from Silence of the Lambs.
We'll catch you next time.
Oh, next time down the trail?
No. We'll catch you next time. Dan, what we'll do, Pat?
Is it Sam? Is it the part from The Big Lebowski? What's the cowboy in that is Sam Cooke.
Sam Elliott.
We'll catch you on next time down the trail.
That's not who he says. He says we'll catch you. I think what we'll do, Pat, today in the Playhouse.
That's Enjoyed Yourself. That's also in the big.
We're going to play them in the middle of the Playhouse today. Okay, Limey. Okay, we'll play the ending, and we'll see how many of them we can get, and the audience will help us. Those who have better memories, who remember when we broke them all down and figured it out, we'll do that for you in the Playhouse.
I think that's fantastic of you to do that.
All right.
Appreciate it. Love your show.
Well, we love you, not in a sexual way.
I hope not.
Okay. All right, Pat.
Okay.
Thank you. Dan, I'm sorry that really wasn't about TV or movies, but
yeah, this is a random hour.
Listeners come first.
It kind of was, because most of them are TV or movie They're, quotes.
Thank
yeah,
you.
And
they are.
And the quarterback that Tim mentioned will probably be featured in a Netflix streaming movie here in the next 2 or 3 years.
Now,
good story.
You know something? I mean, when Tim did that, this is I don't know how many other people would notice this. He did something that I personally find just really interesting. He said, here's how you spell his last name. Capital M-A-R. Capital M. Most people wouldn't do because his name, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just interesting that you do that.
And I'll tell you why I do it is because I'm so used to giving people my email address that you have to say capital or lowercase when you do that.
Email doesn't have anything to do with upper or lowercase.
Sometimes some email addresses are case specific. Some are.
Wow. I have always heard that no email, the case does not matter in any email. I've always heard that. We need Josh Bauman for this one, but that's always heard that emails doesn't matter. You can do it all uppercase, lowercase.
Break it down. Which way?
I think it doesn't matter. But I just thought it was interesting you said capital M, like Woodburn, capital W-O-O-D. Let me see. Dan is next, I think. Yes, Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Not you, Dan. That's old. That bit is so old.
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, I was seeing if my wife could go to a movie with...
With me?
Well, no. Because she acts like she's a movie reviewer.
Because
like we went... years ago, we went to see The Incredibles with the kids. And then came out and she said, what'd you think? And I said, it was funny. And then she proceeds to say, well, I think it's, you know... It's, depiction of life because
she's a reviewer, you're right.
Mom can stretch herself in so many ways. Dad's really Superman and teenage girls want to hide themselves invisible and hide. I was like, I thought it was funny, you know. So
no, but that's a reviewer's take on it, that's for sure.
So if Buff is ever available for a movie, please give him my number.
So that he can go with your wife to the movie.
Yes.
Okay. You know the last woman that he took to a movie, they never heard from her again. You just need to know that. He's got kind of that escaped convict.
It's a legend, okay? It's a legend.
What? You might get a boner. What?
That might be a bonus if she doesn't return.
Oh! I thought you said he might get a boner. Okay. By the way, I wouldn't have said what you said. Good luck tonight at home.
Yeah.
Dan.
What did you say?
Yeah. All right. Dan, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. There goes Dan, and here comes... Yeah, we got time. Just enough time for John. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Frank, I'm good. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
And Frank, that is Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski. That's the ending scene in The Big Lebowski when he makes that.
Okay, saying we'll catch you next time. That's him?
No, apparently we'll catch you next time is...
Okay, but hold on. There are two different things. One is... I'll see you next time on Down the Trail. That's Sam Elliott. But the other one says, we'll catch you next time.
Apparently, it's from a video game. That's what a listener says. And Josh Bauman actually
said John, the one you're talking about, we know that's, but this is a similar wording, but it's just, if I remember, it's just, we'll catch you next time.
This is why I have three question marks behind it, just like I did
Well, we're going to solve it today. We're going to solve it today.
No, someone called and they distinctly remember us talking about this. It's from a DOS-based video game.
That sounds familiar. That sounds right.
DOS-based? What's that?
That's an old video game. System video game.
Well, I do have a movie, Frank.
Go.
I do have a movie I wanted to ask Josh about.
No, Josh is not here. Dan Buff is here.
Oh, Dan Buff. Sorry, Dan. Oh.
That's okay. We got 2 minutes.
Josh
go.
Is listening.
Go.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I saw a movie a year or so ago, and I never hear anybody talk about it. It starred John Hamm, and he was like an assistant ambassador
Beirut.
In Lebanon. Yeah, Beirut.
Beirut, good
it's
movie.
A great
John Goodman great played Beirut.
Movie.
See what I did there? Speech impediment guy saying Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're right on. The movie came out.
Talk about.
Yeah, it came and went. It was a really well done flick, and right in the middle of his big craze where he was leading movies, and it was well done. It's again, he plays like this U.S. ambassador who kind of experiences some trauma, and then he's out of the game. He's pulled back in when his best friend is taken hostage by terrorists, so he has to go back into what he quit.
But it didn't get a lot of buzz.
But, I mean, it got a lot of good reviews from critics, and audiences liked it. It just didn't stick its feet when it comes to being in theaters for long. So that's one that's probably best enjoyed at home.
Yeah, well, it had a great twist at the end because...
It did.
The part of the subplot of it, you know, his wife gets killed, but the child that they adopted gets taken during this raid, and then when he comes back, that child is the head terrorist.
Ooh,
yeah. See, it does. I mean, at first it kind of presents itself as this very simple spy film, but then it kind of develops into something else. And I thought Hamm, that's probably one of his best roles.
Okay, we got to run. John, I'm going to have to check that out. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
And real quick, just sidebar, John Hamm, a lot of people don't know this, is Kevin Bacon's first cousin.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. That's right. Before I go, I want to say Ozark now officially comes back on March 27th.
Yes.
All right, good news. Season 3. So
I'm ready.
I just wrote a piece previewing the last two seasons that comes out in just about maybe two and a half months.
All right. You know how to wrap it up.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of it.
All right. He's had enough of it. He is Dan Buffa. And brought to you by Window World, number one selling replacement window in the United States of America. Preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. More at windowworldst.louis.com. All right, to the top of the hour, I have just enough time to ask you, not tell you, ask you to do something for us and for you. This is for you to get an absolute, complete, and thorough eye exam. I'm not talking about looking at the eye chart. Look at the E, third line from the bottom. Is this better? Is this better? That's just an eye test to see what prescription you might need for your glasses or contacts. I'm talking about a thorough and extensive look at your eyeball from every angle. It sounds like it might hurt, and it does not. There is nothing about any of it that involves pain. It is beyond fascinating. Brinton Vision. Brinton. Brinton Vision. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There are very few things I know anything about. But in my life, I have seen 16 ophthalmologists in 6 states. I could go through a list of things that I've had regarding my eyes and issues with my eyes. There were 2 doctors out of 16 who did 2 completely different things that changed my life. But the biggest change that occurred was one that happened after Dr. Jason Brinton replaced the lenses in my eyes 6 years ago. That's when I did not anymore have to wear glasses all day or contact lenses. I wear glasses to read, reading glasses, that's it. But they have procedures that allow some people to not even have to do that. And because of a long history of other stuff, I'm not a candidate for that. What you'll like about Dr. Brent and his staff is this. If you're not a candidate, they'll tell you you're not, and they're not going to perform something that's risky. They're not going to do it. They have plenty of business. They don't need to do that. But the good news is, there's a very good possibility that he performs a procedure because he does 7 different corrective surgical procedures involving the cornea or the lens that has enabled lots of people to say goodbye to their glasses or contacts who had been told by other doctors that they weren't candidates. Well, they weren't. Not with those other doctors and not with their limited equipment and ability. This guy's unbelievable, and so is his office. It's not like any other ophthalmologist's office or any other doctor's office of any type you've ever been in. From the minute you walk in the door, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's Brinton Vision. B-R-I-N-T-O-N Vision. We talked earlier with Blind Bob. How important is it to you to see clearly? And how much would you love to not have to wear those glasses or those contact lenses? It is possible that you may not need to. Dr. Jason Brinton and his staff.